That. Hey, go to the book of Proverbs 27 for just a moment tonight. We're going to be turning our attention toward our end of the year business meeting, but it is Wednesday night. It's Bible study and prayer time. We've had our prayer time. I want to give you a quick word from the Word. I'm not going to teach my normal scheduled Wednesday night lesson here, but I want to give you something really quick here. Proverbs 27. And we'll look at something. Cecil, it's so good to see you again here tonight. And he was telling me how he was pumping gas, and one of our deacons, Brother Mike Lemoy, stepped over and invited you to church, gave you a tract, and you just moved over to this area, you're moving over to this area, and you needed to find a church closer because the church you were going to is pretty far away. And so what a great thing. And first of all, I keep telling y'all, leave tracks behind your tracks. It pays off. It works. Invite people. You just never know who is there, and just the Holy Spirit's ready, and you're catching them at the right time. So Brother Lemoy caught you and invited you and just felt led of the Lord to step over there and do that, and it was at the right moment in your life. And this is, I think, your second or third service, your second service. And so I think you were here Sunday and then back tonight. So we're so glad and grateful. And what a good example Brother Lemoy is to do that, and it pays. Brother Lemoy has actually invited several people. Brother Trinidad, I believe it started with you. He invited you to church, got you in, and back in 1989. And you met the Lord through all that. And then Scotty is in the Marine Corps right now, but he's the one that invited Scotty at the fireworks stand. So there's a lot of fruit there. Hey, if you just get out there and do it, you can have somebody sitting in here that says, hey, I'm here because they invited me. It still works. I hope you'll work it. Get out there and invite people. Get those tracks out of that track rack. Put them in your purse or put them in your car. And I guarantee you, the Lord will give you opportunity to get out there and be a witness for him. And you just never know. All righty, let's read this verse real quick. Proverbs 27. It says this, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Talking about flattery there at the end. But faithful, truthful wounds that may come from a friend there in verse 6. Faithful wounds, critiques, advice, counsel that may come from a friend, a sincere person. The Bible says those are faithful. Those are helpful. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. So I'm going to give you a quick thought here. I remember back in the 90s, old President Bill Clinton had been impeached by Congress. How many of you remember that whole debacle? And then he was saved by the Democrat-led Senate. They acquitted him, but then they also censored him. So he was given some punishment in that, and basically a slap on the hand for what he had done. And he survived being removed from office by Senate. But he gave a speech right after that. He came before the American people. Of course, it was a big humiliation on his part and his family and his wife, all the things that were so ugly that came out of all that and that investigation. But he made a statement to the American people. He said, sometimes our critics can be our best friends because they're the ones that tell us the truth about ourselves. And in that, he basically then went on to say that there's some truths that he's learned about himself that he needed to work on. And he gave that speech. Well, that statement, you know, I remembered that statement because I do believe there was some truth to that statement, that often critics can be our friends, can be the most helpful to us, because they will honestly tell us the truth that sometimes we don't want to hear, or it's unflattering to hear, but we need to hear. And so I want to give you this real quickly here. We see this open rebuke is better than secret love. Statement number one I want to make here, I was better for being pushed than I was for only being praised. In my life growing up, there are things that made me better because somebody pushed me, often through criticism, through discipline, through bursting that bubble of greatness, leaving me on a flat face of humility. There are people in my life, whether it was parents or maybe it was a preacher. I had Bible college professors that had private meetings with me sometimes and gave me a shove in the right way. And there were, of course, coaches, and there were teachers and preachers, all these people that at times the Lord used to tell me unflattering things about myself. Now, the wound hurt, didn't like it. And like everybody, you go into those self-protection modes. But I will say that I was better for being pushed than I was for only being praised. Now, that's not to say that there's not power in praise. Praise is very motivating. I mean, even a dog, whenever you look at a dog and you say, good boy, you're a good boy. Man, that dog starts wagging that tail and jumping up and down and gets motivated. Man, we get excited when people praise us. And often praises don't come as much as you might think they would. But when you get a praise, it's certainly helpful. But also equally helpful is when somebody tells you the truth, that ugly truth about yourself that you don't want to hear, that truth that tells you you need to work on something. You know, a lot of times we ask people what they think, then we get mad at them for telling us the truth. Has that ever happened to you? You ever asked your friend if you had a piece of spinach or something caught in my teeth, and you go, you know, and then they tell you got a bunch of stuff caught in your teeth. Well, you know, you'd rather them tell you that you got a big old piece of lettuce stuck here than for them to say, oh, no, you're good, man. And you walk around looking like an idiot all night with a piece of lettuce stuck in your mouth. Sometimes it's better that somebody tells you that truth, even if it's a hard truth or a harsh truth. So I can say in my life, and I look at this verse, open rebuke is better than secret love, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I can say amen to that because I know personally I am a better person being pushed than I was only being praised. I'm going to give you a second thought. Critique yields more results than compliments. Critique yields more results than compliments. Now, we would rather have compliments than critiques, but often when somebody critiques you, and you know, often you don't have a lot of people that feel close enough to you to tell you a truth or to critique you. I remember when I first started preaching as a young man, I was a teenager when I surrendered to preach, or I was 11 when I surrendered to preach. So through those teenage years, people were very, very gracious. And I'd get up and preach and do my best. And I, you know, look back. I mean, I know what I knew in the whole, all I knew about the Bible, you could fit in a thimble pretty much at 11 years old. But I did my best, you know, trying to learn. And people were so gracious. And then when I got out of high school and started, you know, working in the church, became a youth director, then when I would preach, people were not so gracious. People would meet me in the lobby often afterwards with a list of critiques. And man, sometimes it was a bubble bursting experience. One of the critiques I got a lot was people would say, Russ, I think you had a pretty good sermon if we could have understood it. I spoke so fast. I mean, I was like a machine gun. I mean, you would have to record it and slow it down to be able to hear at normal speed what I was saying. I was just really a fast talker. And so people couldn't understand what I was saying a lot. And, of course, I would, you know, get the tape that they would have if I preached at the church there. They'd record it. I'd listen to it, and I'd have to painfully admit that they were right. And then I took a class in Bible college called homiletics. Homiletics is where they teach you how to preach. Preaching is not the same as speech given. It's totally different. Preaching is not the same as just giving a lecture. It's not even the same as teaching. I preach in a different style than what I teach in. When I'm teaching, it's a different cadence. It's a different approach. Preaching is a whole different thing. When I give the State of the Church address, it's a whole different approach. It is a speech, more like a politician would give. But I don't preach in speech tone. Preaching is a different thing. There's a rhythm. There's a cadence to it. And I had to learn to stop and enunciate words. You know, I catch myself a lot of times. I think I over-enunciate words. I slow way down and try to get every syllable in there. That's because I was critiqued hard in homiletics. And they made us preach, and then they would make us watch a video of ourselves preaching in the class, and then they'd allow everybody in the class to critique you. There were some fistfights, I think, that broke out in the parking lot among us students afterwards, but I'm telling you what, it was humbling. You don't realize how many times most people say the phrase, when they speak in public. Or the phrase, you know. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8, you know. And you know the Bible says, you know. And man, they would number those. He would say, you said 37 uhs in a 3-minute message, you know. And man, it became something we became aware of. But it was so... it was sometimes very hard, and you go in it thinking, you know, I got skills, man. And then you find out that you got a lot of, you know, bad habits as well. And so it was hard. But I will tell you this, I emerged from that And there was homiletics one, and then when you think it's safe to go back in the water, they introduced homiletics two the next semester. We had to take two semesters of homiletics, and it was just a brutal experience. They made us do things like preach on street corners. When I was in Oklahoma Baptist College, we preached on the street corners that they required us to be able to fulfill, trying to get us over stage fright and all that stuff. I had a can of beer thrown at me at about 60 miles an hour. It went whizzing by my head, and I just happened to see it. And man, I had one car pull over. People would pull over and talk to us. We were the preacher boys at the college. And sometimes people would pull over. We'd give them counsel. They'd pull over and want us to pray with them. I had a Camaro. I'll never forget it. It was like a 1978 Camaro pulled up. Had a guy and a girl in it. They called me over to the window. He said, "Hey, come here. I want to ask you a question." So I come over there and I leaned down, and he had a cup of beer in his hand. When I did, he went, threw it right in my face, went all over me, went all down my shirt. I went back to college and I had some splaining to do why I smelled like a Bud Light. But I learned a lot of things. I learned from all that experience, that training, and I'd like to think it made me a better public speaker. But I will tell you that whatever I became in quality, it's because somebody critiqued the fire out of me. People didn't care to spare my feelings and told me the truth, and that truth helped me to improve, and it showed me where I needed to improve. So I will say this, critique yields more than compliments. Now, that is not to say that you shouldn't yield compliments. Once again, compliments and praise encourage. When people are trying to do good, when they're trying to do right and you see them improving, a little bit of praise can help them to continue that track. We had a guy in our church one time. I had an evangelist. I had him in one time. Never had him again. But my wife was there. She'll attest to this. I saw Christy a moment ago. Where'd she go? Okay, she's in nursery now. Okay. Well, we had an evangelist that came, and one of our men shared in a testimony that he had lost. He was celebrating that this week he had lost his 100th pound. 100 pounds. That's pretty amazing to lose 100 pounds of weight. Now, he was a very large man, and it is true that he still had a long way to go to get to his target weight, but we all clapped and cheered. Well, this evangelist got up, and I don't know if he was just trying to be funny or what, but he said, "Well, this man lost 100 pounds. Looks like he needs to lose another 100. And I'm going to tell you, of course, I just, my mouth just dropped like, what? And I couldn't believe that he said that. But, and once again, he came once, one time. I never had that guy back. But, here's the thing. There was no call for that. Here's a man that losing 100 pounds, even though he's still got a long way to go, that's still a pretty amazing accomplishment. A compliment would have been more powerful there than a critique. We got to use our words with wisdom, and sometimes a compliment's what is needed. Often, I feel the best method when you've got to give someone a critique. It may be your child. You ever have to give your son a critique or your daughter? Let me tell you the best method. Positive, positive, negative, positive. "Son, you're doing good. I'm proud of you. Now, what you did there was stupid, but I still love you." You see what happened there? There was a positive, there was a positive, there was a definite negative, but it ended on a positive. Sometimes when you've got to tell something to somebody for their own good, if you'll use two complimentary things, then give them the negative and then end it on a compliment, I think it can go down. What is that old song? "A spoonful of sugar helps the..." Go down. Sometimes compliments that sugar that helps that bitter go down. But I will say this, we shouldn't be angry at people who tell us the truth and critique us. It can help us. Number three, being corrected hurts, but being corrupted kills. If people don't tell us where we're wrong, we can become corrupted people. Being corrected hurts. It hurts your feelings. But allowing you to stay in a corrupted form, and it's something that's less than right, can bring death. It can bring destruction. It can bring failure. So be thankful for the parents, preachers, teachers, and good friends that are willing to give you that rebuke when you need it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes those words are the wounds. They cause the wounds. But when you know they love you, it can help. My brother was preaching one time at Starlight Baptist Church. Of course, my father was the pastor there. My father's a phenomenal public speaker. And we all grew up in that shadow, knowing that, and often, early on, greatly being compared to it. We knew we couldn't measure up to that, especially at those early ages. my brother preached one of his first sermons. He fought being a preacher. He didn't want to surrender. He tried to do other things, and at about 24, he surrendered to preach. And so he was about 24, 25. He got up to preach and did the best that he could. Well, one of the men in the church, who was actually a very close person to us, we call him Uncle John, my brothers and I do, very close to us, very close, dear friend. Well, he felt the freedom to go to Sam and express mistakes that he noticed in Sam's delivery. So he came up, and in the lobby, he told, well, it really hurt Sam. Sam got out in the car, and we were heading home, and he was really, you know, just you know, hurt. It hurt his feelings, obviously. He felt he was doing the best he could and felt he got a little shredded. And I listened to Sam and was sympathetic. I had been through similar things, and I said, Sam, I know that hurt your feelings, but I said, Sam, let me ask you this. I said, do you believe that John loves you? He said, of course he loves me. He loves me a lot. So I said, in that love, do you think he was trying to help you? And he said, I know that he was trying to help. And I said, sometimes you just got to accept that and leave it at that. I know that he wouldn't hurt you for anything in the world. He was just trying to help. Maybe it was not the best moment or time to do so, but his intention was out of love. The motivation was out of love. A lot of times when somebody tells you something that you don't want to hear, you have to step back and ask this question, does that person love me? I mean, when you're a child and your mom says something to you that hurts your feelings because she's trying to correct you, you think your mom loves you. So therefore, you have to admit, in that love, she's trying to help you. Listen, when I get up here and I preach and through the Holy Spirit critique you, and you sit there looking like a bullfrog on a lily pad all puffed up, and you wonder who I've been talking to, you think your wife's had a meeting with me and told all these things about you, answer this question. Number one, do you think your preacher loves you? And the answer is yes. I have nothing to gain from hurting you. And then ask yourself, does he have anything to gain from hurting me? Well, the answer is no. No, I work hard to get you into church. Why would I want to preach you out of church? I don't want to preach people out of church. I want to preach people up in church. Not out, up. Preach you up. So preaching sometimes comes across as being critiquing and critical, but it's all motivating to help you. All righty, with all that said, let's bow for a quick word of prayer. And while your head is bowed, let me ask you this question since we're at church. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Do you know if you died today that you would go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I am positive, I have settled it. It is a settled thing in my faith that I am going to heaven, that Jesus is my Savior. Would you just raise your hand as a witness? Raise your hand. Amen. I see hands everywhere. You may lower your hands. Is there anyone that could say, Preacher, I honestly don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I would like to know if you could give me that chance? Would you just slip your hand up tonight so I can pray for you? I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I see that hand. I see that hand. All right. I'm going to ask, where's Brother Cooper at? Is he in the room? Not out there. All right. Well, John, can you come up to the piano real quick and play a little verse of invitation hymn? I'm going to come down here. I'm going to say a word of prayer. If you're in the room tonight and you're just not sure, why go out another night and worry about it? Why worry about it? Come on up, John. Why worry about it? Let us help you. Dear Father, in a moment, I'm going to ask everybody to stand for a moment. It could be that there's people in the room that have been struggling with this question, am I going to heaven? Lord, I pray that tonight we can help that struggle come to an end. We have the biblical information that leads to the understanding of salvation, and we are ready to share that. Lord, I pray that this one in particular that raised her hand, that she will not be nervous or afraid, but that she'll just step out and let us have a counselor take her to a private room. Lord, it could be there's people in the room that just have a very quick private need to pray. Something on their heart. We had prayer time earlier, but maybe somebody needs to come and have a quick word of prayer on the altar. I want them to feel free to do that during this time. Let them feel compelled by the Holy Spirit to do so. We ask this all in Jesus' name.